I want us this morning to look at this passage that we read from Acts chapter 8. It's well enough known. Really, we speak at times about the Ethiopian eunuch. And it's packed with so many details. To understand it, we need to remember that in the early church, the disciples decided that they needed to appoint deacons to be able to help in the administration of the affairs of the church, and they appointed seven, and one of them was called Philip. But Philip wasn't just a person who was really involved with bricks and mortar, you might say, or that type of thing. He was also an evangelist, and we see that here in verse 8. He had been greatly used by God in the city of Samaria. Look at verses 48. If you have a chance there to look at those four verses. The people in great numbers had believed the gospel, and there was great joy in the city of Samaria. Now, the church of Jerusalem were so overjoyed to hear about this that they sent Peter and John to bring stability, to bring extra teaching to the new converts in Samaria, verse 14. So a great work was going on. You might say it was like a mini revival. A mini revival was happening in Samaria. And then in the middle of all that, you see verse 26. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the desert road, that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza." Now, you think of it there. He's in Samaria, and so many things are happening. People are coming to know, to trust in the Savior. People are being built up in their faith. Now, Philip, leave all that and go to a desert road. I sometimes think of this and wonder, what would I have thought if I had been in a situation where God was richly blessing and pouring out His Spirit upon a particular congregation, and then you felt that God's calling to some very small place where nothing's happening. It's the same type of thing. But you see, this was God's work. He knew where Philip was needed. And Philip, of course, in obedience goes to this desert road. But let's think of what happened then quickly. Verses 27 to 28, Philip meets the Ethiopian. Now, the Ethiopian was traveling home to the Upper Nile region, that part of Egypt, the Upper Nile part of Egypt. And he was an important man, we're told, in the government of Queen Candace. He was like the Chancellor of the Exchequer, the Treasurer. And he was traveling home from Jerusalem. Now, he had been at Jerusalem to worship, and that raises the question. It most likely was that he was a proselyte. That is, someone who had come to understand and believe the truth of the God of Israel. Someone must have told him, or he had got to know about the God of Israel, the God who had brought the people out of Egypt and brought them into the promised land and the miracles that he did. And he had become a follower. He'd become a believer in the God of Israel. And he traveled a long way to worship God, didn't he? From Egypt to Jerusalem in a chariot pulled by horses. What a long way. He was serious. And that's something I want to emphasize. I hope you're always serious about coming to worship. You know, if you ever, and I was talking to myself, like, if we ever get up on the Lord's Day morning and think to yourself, well, I couldn't be bothered going today. Listen, there's something seriously wrong if that's the case. There's something seriously wrong. We should find it nearly impossible to miss the house of God only because of sickness or something like that, or emergencies. This man was serious, and we ought to be as serious as well. But let's look at what happened now. The man was coming down the road in his chariot, and Philip, we see his love for him. He's directed. Philip is directed by the Holy Spirit. Verse 29, go to that chariot and stay near it. You know, try to picture the scene of a chariot and the horses. And there probably were outriders as well. What we would look on today is like the police. Because a man like that wouldn't be coming on his own. He wouldn't have been coming on his own. You know the way that whenever the prime minister's moving, you see these policemen up the side and the back and all. Well, that must have been the same type of thing. There certainly was the driver of the chariot. And here Philip runs alongside, and he hears the man reading from a book. Now, in those days, they read out loud. They wouldn't have been reading the way we read. We read inwardly, but they read out loud. And he was reading from the book of Isaiah. And Philip calls out, what a question. Do you understand what you're reading? Do you understand what you're reading? And what would your reaction be if somebody came and said to you, came alongside you and asked you, do you understand what you're reading? I think a lot of people today would be very annoyed, nearly angry. They would get on their, you may say, their high horse and say, does he think I'm stupid? Does he think I'm stupid? And they would turn away with a sense of hurt pride. But I want you to notice the Ethiopian. The Ethiopian knew that he didn't understand. The Ethiopian knew that he needed somebody to explain. How lovely it is whenever someone comes and asks the question, how? What does this mean in the Bible? How do you become a Christian? How lovely it is whenever people ask the real serious questions. And the Ethiopians said, how can I accept some man guide me? You know, John Calvin wrote about this, and he said, he contrasts the Ethiopian's modesty, a man who acknowledged his ignorance freely and frankly, with a man who is swollen-headed and with confidence in his own abilities. Mind you, there are plenty of swollen-headed people and with confidence in their own abilities today. But this man wasn't like that. This man wasn't like that. He admitted his need. Admitted his need. You know, there are people who lift the Bible occasionally and glance at it and they don't understand, and they don't really care they don't understand. It's very, very sad. Would they seek out somebody to explain to them what it's saying? No, the Bible sits as a closed book. We won't come and ask, what does it mean? You see, God has given to us his word. But he has also given to us teachers, hasn't he? Paul says in Ephesians chapter 4, teachers for the perfecting of the saints, apostles and prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers. These given us people to help us for the edifying of the body of Christ. The Ethiopian wasn't too proud to ask for help. And I hope that none of us would be too proud to say, look, I don't understand this. Could you explain it to me? But then I want you to notice in verses 32 to 35, Philip explains the scriptures. The eunuch realizes he must have realized this is a man who could help him. And he invited Philip up into the chariot, and they continue on their journey together. You know, always picture the man, the, driving the chariot, the horse, stopping the horses, and Philip getting in, and then away they go again. And the eunuch is sitting with the scriptures on open on his knee, and Philip beside him explaining. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? A wonderful picture. And you notice what Philip does in verse 35. He begins where the eunuch had been reading, and he begins to explain what the eunuch had been reading. It's so important, that, isn't it, to be able to start where the eunuch, where the person is. To be able to start, he was able to start where the eunuch was. That's so important. You see, men and women around us today have a multitude of questions and a multitude of problems. And you need to be able to start where they are. A man would come from a very upright and very religious family. He starts at a different place from the man who's been living a godless life and a careless life for years and years and years. Now, the need of each person is the same. Each man needs a Savior. Each woman needs a Savior. But you can start from different places. One has a knowledge of the Scriptures, and the other doesn't have a knowledge of the Scriptures. You can see how you need to start in a different place. Start where they are. The eunuch didn't understand the place in Isaiah where he had been reading, Isaiah 53. Oh, it's a lovely passage, isn't it? Maybe like me, you learned it whenever you were in school. You learned it off by heart. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before his shears is dumb. You see, that's me quoting the authorized version, not what's here. But it's the same thing. He didn't open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? Oh, what does this mean? You can almost sense the eunuch saying, who's the prophet speaking about? Is he speaking about himself or somebody else? And Philip had the great privilege of telling the eunuch that the one who was led like a lamb to the slaughter was Jesus. Jesus. He preached unto him Jesus. Listen, everyone, make sure you don't divide the Bible up. Make sure you don't say, look, I just read the New Testament. I don't bother with the Old Testament. That's wrong. It's the whole Bible, not just half a Bible. You should always read the whole Bible. The Old Testament points to Jesus. Always look and see, the Old Testament points to Jesus. And here you have the example here so clearly in Isaiah 53, pointing to Jesus. And that's why we should always keep before us all the Scriptures, the Word of God which is contained in the Scriptures of the Old and New Testaments is the only rule to direct us how we may glorify and enjoy Him. That's what the Catechism makes clear, the Word of God contained in the Scriptures of both Old and New Testaments. The eunuch needed to hear about Jesus. And it's the Lord Jesus who must be set forth as Savior and Lord. And I think again of what Philip would have said. The eunuch knew, he seemed to know that a Messiah was promised. And so Philip would explain that the Messiah has come, born of Mary, lived amongst men and died on Calvary. God's Lamb, the one spoken about in Isaiah 53, spotless, and yet he died in the place of others. The eunuch would hear this wonderful news that whoever believes in him shall be saved. He preached unto him Jesus. That's so wonderful. What a wonderful message to tell about Jesus. Don't we sometimes sing the hymn, Jesus, the name to sinners dear, the name to sinners given,
It scatters all their guilty fear. It turns their hell to heaven. Jesus, the name to sinners dear. It's so important for us that we always point men and women to Jesus as he set forth in the scriptures. And we need to know the scriptures and lead people to the Savior. Oh, if there's someone today here and you haven't trusted the Lord Jesus as your Savior, let me tell you, there's no other way of salvation. If you ever hope to be in heaven, it must be through Jesus. No other way. If you turn away from Jesus, you turn away from life and hope, and you're on the broad road that leads to a lost and undone eternity. It must be Jesus. None but Jesus can do helpless sinners good. And I would urge you to seek him with all your heart. And then we see quickly then verses 36 to 38, the eunuch believes. Here was a man who was high up in public life, the treasurer to the queen, and yet he believes in the Lord Jesus and is saved. I think that's wonderful, you see. It doesn't matter who's in the congregation. It could be the queen on the throne or the beggar on the street. Both people need the same. They need Jesus. That's the thing. You make no difference. Whosoever will may come. It doesn't matter who you are. Whosoever will may come. Here was the second in command in Ethiopia. And yet he believes in the Lord Jesus and he's saved. Now some people will, you might say like this, would be far too proud. What would people think of me? But that wasn't going to stop this man. God, the Holy Spirit, was so working in his heart and he believed in the Lord Jesus for salvation. And there by the side of the road he was baptized. Now the eunuch was certainly not alone, as I've already said. There had been people with him. You could imagine the driver of the chariot looking on and, what's he doing now? What's he going down into that water for with that strange man? You could imagine what they were saying. But that didn't matter. Nothing deterred him. God, the Holy Spirit, was so working in his heart that nothing was going to stop him. He was coming to Christ and trusting Christ. And that's what we long to see, isn't it? We want to see people who are convicted, so convicted of their sin and so realizing their need of Christ that nothing will ever stop them coming. That they'll say, I must come to Christ. I must come to Christ. I must find him and know him as my Savior. Then we see that Philip is taken away once again, verses 39 to 40. Now his work was finished in this place, and God directed him now to another field of service, to Azotes. Well, what about the eunuch? That's a lovely verse, isn't it? Number 39. It says, and the eunuch did not see him again, but he went on his way rejoicing. The eunuch didn't see Philip again, but he went on his way rejoicing. What a difference in the journey now. You know, imagine what it would have been like in the chariot now. Still reading possibly the same scriptures, but now he knew. He knew the one that the scriptures were speaking about. He had trusted him. The eunuch went on his way rejoicing. Really, in a sense, the gospel was on its way to Africa. The gospel was moving into all the different parts of the world. And this man was going and he was a new creation. Oh, I found a friend, such a friend. He loved me ere I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love, and thus he bound me to him. That's what happened, you see. To find Jesus, I found a friend, oh, such a friend. He loved me or I knew him. He drew me with the cords of love. He drew me, and thus he bound me to him. That's what had happened to the eunuch, you see. That's what had happened. And now, the joy that the Lord Jesus gives us on his way to Africa, the gospel was going forth into all the world. He went without Philip, but he went with Jesus. That's the important thing. So let me ask finally then, why was Philip taken to this desert road, you might say, for one man? You know, sometimes you remember years ago going to a builder's yard to get some things, but it wasn't very much. And the man, you know, who arranged, you know, he was reluctant. He says, you know, we'll have to send a lorry out with that bit of 4x2, 8 feet long, and big lorry, all that distance. And, you know, when you think about it, that's right. Like the lorry, in a sense, was being wasted, wasn't it, you might say? It was being wasted because I wanted just one piece of timber or something like that. But what about Philip being taken to speak to one man? Philip being taken to speak to one man. But you see, the gospel was now on its way to Africa. It was on its way to Africa. And you see the importance of speaking just to one here or one there, just as much as speaking to a class or to a great congregation of people. And this is the work, you see, this is the work that we should be always on the lookout for. That wherever you go during this incoming week, in the shop or in the workshop or on the roads, wherever you go, to be able to, opportunities. What about Jesus to someone? To be able to, not to force, but to gently talk to people about the Savior as you get opportunity. That's the work, you see, of every believer. And of course, to do that, well, we need to know and love the Savior, but we need to love people, and we need, of course, to know the Scriptures and be able to point to the Scriptures. So was it a waste of time? Not at all. This is God's plan. God sends us out, whether it's just to talk to one or to talk to a large number, whatever, it's his work, and we are to be faithful and doing the work he has called us to do. Oh, the hymn writer says, go labor on, spend and be spent. Toil on, faint not, keep watch and pray. Be wise the erring soul to win. Go forth into the world's highway and compel the wanderer to come in. Compel the wanderer to come in. To be able to say to someone, point them to Jesus. What a privilege to be able to say, I have a Savior. And you can come to know this Savior too. May that be the desire of our hearts. Let us pray. Lord, we do thank you indeed for your word. We pray that you would bless us now as it continues to dwell in our hearts. And as we go from this place, may we rejoice to be able to sing about Jesus and to speak about Jesus. For we ask this all in his name. Amen.